Welcome to the Harvest USA podcast, where we offer the transformative hope of the gospel to those impacted by sexual sin. Our passion is to equip the church to think biblically about God's design for sexuality, repentance, and life in Christ.
Welcome to Session 1. Jesus knows you and draws near. Sexual shame and the gospel's invitation. You know, a question that we get asked every so often here at Harvest USA is something along the lines of, what's it like to have a full-time job in which you're talking about sexual stuff all the time? Our answer is, that's not what we're talking about most of the time. I mean, sure, the issues and the sin struggles that bring people to us for help, they are connected somehow to sexual brokenness and sin. But sexual behaviors are, in one sense, only the outward manifestation of what's going on in a person's heart. Yeah, you heard that right. The Bible teaches consistently that we speak, act, and respond out of our hearts, kind of like a cup of water getting bumped. If there is refreshing, clean water in that cup, out splashes that kind of water. And if the water's polluted, well, the bumped cup will overflow with dirty water. I mean, session 2 is actually all about this biblical idea that we live out of our hearts, and Caitlin will explain that in detail. So the question then is, when women come to us for help, what do we talk about besides their sexual sin struggles? Well, many things. But at the very center of it all is Jesus and the amazing life-transforming truth of how a faith-fueled, dependent relationship with Him leads to the kind of change we desperately need from the inside out. Changed, healed, forgiven hearts producing new ways of living, responding, and yes, behaving. So pornography, sexual activity outside of marriage, or even sinful dynamics within marriage, unholy same-sex relationships, masturbation, and so many other things are fruits bearing out of our hearts, broken, sinful hearts, which need the healing touch, truthful words, and holy love of Jesus in order to heal and live differently. We want to address 3 key ideas about these things in this session. First, what do women often experience as a result of struggling with sexual sin? 2, how does Jesus respond to broken women? And then 3, how can we respond to Jesus? We're going to explore these questions in light of a story from the ministry of Jesus. Now, sexual shame isn't mentioned, and in fact, we don't know much about the woman who Jesus calls out in a crowd, invites to draw near to Him, and receives amazing, gracious, transformative love from our Savior. So let me read this story from the Gospel of Luke. Then we're going to make some connections to what this story is about. Now, let me set the scene. The story happens in a Jewish synagogue, which was a religious gathering place. Jesus is teaching, and as most synagogues would have been structured at that time, women would have been listening probably from the perimeter, either of the room or maybe in a balcony, but they were separate from men. So as we hear the story, imagine Jesus at the front of the room, a group of men in front of Him, and at least this one nameless woman on the margin or in the back. Starting in Luke 13, verse 10. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, He called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord Jesus, answered him, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? As he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. Now, why did I choose this story rather than one of Jesus's encounters with women who were caught in sexual sin? Well, this story is one that I think we can all relate to. I mean, women who only resonate with the Samaritan woman or the woman caught in adultery, they can see themselves as set apart. And honestly, women who don't resonate with those stories in the Bible can also see themselves as set apart. We want to all look to Jesus shoulder to shoulder and learn how to apply the gospel regardless of what we have personally experienced. So let's first look at a few aspects of this woman's situation and then make some connections to what this course is about and probably why you've logged on. First, this woman is suffering. I mean, in God's sovereign and mysterious plan, she had been allowed to have a broken body through Satan's influence. The text doesn't explain why God allowed this, but Jesus makes it clear that while this woman was, of course, a sinner like everyone else, her bent over body was not because of her sin, but rather due to the enemy, Satan himself. So right from the start here, we're reminded that this life is full of trouble. Yes, temptation and sin, but also suffering that is coming at us, even against us. God uses all forms of suffering, painful afflictions, for his purposes. Also, this woman most likely had a broken heart too. I mean, can you imagine living this way for 18 years, basically bent at a 90-degree angle, shuffling around? She couldn't do a lot of activities without incredible struggle. People stare, kids laugh, friends don't know what to say. This was a very challenging trial. I mean, third, she was probably marginalized, judged, and shamed due to her affliction. Perhaps she felt on the outside looking in from the other women in her village. Maybe she was jealous of their lives. I mean, sure, they had struggles too, but why did she have to have this struggle? I mean, the theology of the time was that if you were suffering, you must be under the punishment of God for being a bad person, abnormally wicked. So maybe she was on the receiving end of sneers, whispers, uncomfortable stares. Jesus actually exposes that the religious leaders were more concerned about their animals than caring for this woman. What shame she would have most likely felt. She wasn't as important as a donkey. So friend, your bentness, your brokenness and sin may be hidden, not seen for all like this woman's bent over body. But let me assure you that all women and men, all women need the love, truth, and transforming power of Christ in their sexuality. You are not alone. All around us, women have hidden relational struggles, sexual and emotional temptations, deep pain, and disappointments that no one knows about. You may not be physically bent over, but you know something is off, broken inside. You sense it goes deeper than just behaviors like looking at porn, hooking up with guys, messing around with women, or having your mind filled with so much darkness. But let's notice what Jesus did for this woman, how he responded to her situation, because his words and actions are for us today, for you, for me, but for you, dear one, in your shame, your pain, and dare I say it, perhaps your self-loathing due to your sexual and relational sin. For women addicted to pornography, including things like anime and books which are sexual in nature. For single and married women who are involved sexually with other women. If you feel like you're just out of control sexually in whatever way, Jesus is your refuge, heart healer, defender, celebrator, and savior. He's the one you need. He's the one who, like with the woman in the story, sees, calls, touches, heals all of us as he proclaims words of life and transformation over us. Did you notice in the story from Luke 13, that Jesus was present. He taught. He took the initiative to see and call this hurting, bent-over woman to himself. Then he sets her free and defends her and celebrates her. All of this in the context of her identity as one of God's people. She was a loved daughter of God. Remember, she was at the back of the room or up on a balcony and bent over, yet Jesus saw her and he sees you. He knows your whole story. He knows all the influences that are connected to the behaviors you're struggling with. He didn't run away that day when he was teaching in the synagogue. Nope. He stayed and he invited this woman to come near enough to him so that he could touch her, place his holy hands on her back or maybe her head as she stared at the floor. And he proclaimed that she was set free. This is why he came, you know. There's another story from the Gospel of Luke that I absolutely love. Now, this story takes place sometime before the one we just looked at. In Luke 4, Jesus is again in a synagogue. And that day, the reading was a prophecy from Isaiah 61, prophecy of the coming king, of the long-awaited Messiah Savior. Here's what Jesus read that day at the synagogue. As you hear or as you read the words on the screen, imagine being there, hearing and seeing what unfolded. And Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Fulfilled. Yes, he came and he will come again, my friend, and will finally, utterly make all things new. He's going to destroy for good temptation, sin, and all that is evil. But we're not there yet, are we? Sister, and I do want to name you as a sister in Christ if you're a believer in him. And if you aren't, you are so welcome here, my friend. And we long that through this video course, maybe you're going to come to understand, know, and believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior from your sins and the healer and transformer of your brokenness. There are steps for you all to take. Obedience to engage, humility to express as you follow the example of this set-free woman in our story. Let me just give her a name. Let's call her Anna. Anna was there at the synagogue that day. We don't know the details of why or all the aspects of what motivated her. We can assume she wanted to learn. She probably knew she needed help. Engaging in this course is a way for you to follow her example. Anna didn't stay where she was. Did you notice that? She got up, probably shuffling her way to Jesus, slowly, perhaps glancing up, making her way through the group of men that were in between her and Jesus. And she drew near to her Savior, the compassionate, powerful, holy Messiah. She did not hide, refuse, or resist Jesus' invitation. What about you? Will you also, even as this video winds down, cry out to God to help you not stay where you are? Because friend, there is so much at stake here. Maybe you've already experienced the costly, painful consequences of sin. What happens when we insist on staying hidden, staying stuck in destructive patterns of life, in messy relationships, soul-polluting online life that leads to a thought life, which is not what God created it to be. Today can be a day you step out like Anna to get out of your seat, so to speak, and pray for help. Let me give two final thoughts before we close up. First, what's one step you can take today, this week, towards Jesus? You know, obedience leads to freedom from sin, and the first step of faith is to change your direction and face Him, to look to Him and ask Him to help you keep walking forward. One step can lead to a life-changing pivot, a new direction. And then second, please know that our heart's desire from our side of the screen is to guide and disciple you as we walk through this course together. It's not nearly as personal as it could be if we were, you know, sitting together with our Bibles open and able to see each other's faces, to hear each other's voices, for us to be able to learn your story and witness your tears, your confusion, your smile, as well as your anger, your fears. But Jesus knows all these things about you, and He's not limited one bit by the format of this study. Our hope, our prayer, is that this video course will be one of many components in your journey of obedience and overcoming sin. I love how Dane Ortlund describes Jesus in his wonderful book, Gentle and Lowly. When we can't sort out our emotions, when the longtime friend lets us down, when a family member betrays us, when we feel deeply misunderstood, when we are laughed at by the impressive, in short, when the fallenness of the world closes in on us and makes us want to throw in the towel, there, right here, we have a friend who knows exactly what such testing feels like and sits close to us, embraces us. Jesus is with you as you step forward to grow and will help you draw near to Him. So now, as we mentioned, there's going to be some prayer prompts for you to follow that you can take to think through, to pray through on your own. Take your time and know that as you draw near to Jesus, He has already drawn near to you.
The following audio was taken from our brand new online course, Transforming Love: Women, Sexual Struggles, and Help in Christ. To register for free or learn more, visit harvestusa.org/courses. Again, that's harvestusa.org/courses. This link will also be provided in this episode's show notes.